I'm on, right? Good, yes. Would y'all give the band another round of applause? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. We have a new sound man today. Sound lady, I'm sorry about that. I don't want to be, offend you in any way or fashion, but we have our sound. Heidi's having to run the sound day, so if I go up or down or I get too loud or it gets too low and you can't hear me, you're just going to have to deal with it, right? And that's per Heidi. No, I'm kidding. way to fill in, Heidi. We know there's we've always had visitors here, and we're so thankful. If you did come today and this is your first time to ever be here, thank you for coming. We know you could have chose to go anywhere today. You know, there's where I'm from a small town, and I kid you not, I think there is 250 churches in that town, and there's one on every corner. And most of the time, they were probably started out of a fence or whatever. You know, First Baptist Church didn't like to be First Baptist anymore, so they went and started the Second Baptist Church. It might have even been a third or a fourth. But we had convenience stores and churches on every corner. So, and they're starting, this town is growing. There's no telling how many more are coming to this area, but we know you could have gone anywhere. And I know that, you know, some of you guys are probably looking for a church to go to, and I totally understand that. You got to get in where you fit in, right? I heard a rapper say that a long time ago, right? Got to get in where you fit in. So, and if a rapper says it, it has to be true, right? So, get in where you fit in. But if you are new here for the very first time, never been here before, we'd like to honor you. So if you could just raise your hand right quick and just let us clap for you. Thank you, guys. Oh, quite a few of you. Wow. All right. About 12 of you, 15 of you. Congratulations. Would y'all like to come up and give a speech or anything? I didn't see any hands go up, so I guess I'm it. But if you did get a little packet in the foyer, please pull out the little card on the inside and fill it out. We'll just call you one time. We're not going to keep calling you and asking you, why ain't you at church? You know, did you go to Luby's that day? Or did you skip because you just didn't want to go? We're not going to do that to you. We just want you to know that we are thankful, and we'd like to honor you for coming and at least giving Cowboy Church a try. I see there's a lot of people that's traveling. You know, I see a lot of empty seats, but that's fine. I've seen services where there's, you know, maybe 10, and, you know, great things can happen. You only need two, and if there's two in agreement, Jesus is there. And we got more than two. So we're doing good. But just so honored that you guys would choose to come. So we yeah, say thank you. Proverbs 24, as we do tithes and offerings. You guys can go ahead and pass them out. Proverbs 24. And if you are new here, I'm the associate pastor. Our pastor's traveling. He travels a lot in the summertime. I think he was in Casper yesterday. Where's he at today? He's in all week. That's right, because they got the college finals, right? That's where Ricky, our fiddle player, is, and Daryl. And guys, that Casper, Wyoming, and the college finals has been a long time going for Corey. And I don't know if you've ever been to rodeos or know anything about the cowboy lifestyle, but you have two choices after a rodeo. You can either go to the tent for church, or you can go to the bar and hang out with your friends, or you can go to your truck and drink beer and get crazy and do crazy stuff. Not picking on beer drinkers, but I'm just saying, there are options, there are choices, and they fill that tent every night. And a long time ago, a guy came against Corey. I'm not going to try to tell it. I don't know if he's ever told this story, but I'm going to try to be very vague with it. Somebody had come against him on trying to steal that service from him, and Corey stood up to it and said, nope, and it didn't happen. And he's been doing it this whole time. He's been doing it for as long as I've been here, and that's been well over 10 years for sure. 15 years at least. And if there's anybody that needs Jesus, it's college kids. I don't know if y'all have been to college here lately or if you know anything about college right now, but it's just as corrupt as the media, a lot of them. So college kids need Jesus, and that's where our pastor is today. He's evangelizing and helping with that rodeo. He donates his time. They don't pay him. He donates his time to help with that rodeo and helps run the whole thing off. So y'all be praying for them for a week, because he needs energy. I'm telling you. I don't know if you've ever put on a rodeo, but it requires a lot of energy. So y'all be praying for them. Proverbs 24, as we do tithes and offerings. First, let's see, verse 3. It says, through skillful and godly wisdom, I'm reading the Amplified, a house is built, and by understanding it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge, its rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, when I read that, I thought, you know, you have to be very careful reading Scripture not to get confused with worldly knowledge and godly knowledge. Worldly knowledge says, whatever you want to do, you just do it, and you're going to be, you know, you're going to, everything you do in life is going to be on you. You're going to own it. You know, you're going to be the, you know, a lot of people or the world try to convince you that it's up to you to succeed. Well, that's true. It's up to you. But I'm here to tell you that if you can get godly knowledge, those rooms and those houses get filled a lot faster with precious riches and all kinds of prosperity. Because worldly knowledge will tell you that you got to do it this way. And if you don't do it this way, then, you know, you ain't going to be successful. Once I found out that that wasn't the truth, and once I found out that God is very involved with your life on everything. I was reading something on the news this morning on Fox News. If you go to Fox News and look at their website, there was an article on there, and it was talking about praying for the little things. And some lady had wrote an article or something about praying for the little things, like, God, I'm going shopping today, and I need to make sure that I find the exact dress that fits me perfectly for this special occasion. Or have you ever been to a parking lot and said, Lord, help me find a closed parking spot because I don't want to walk? I think everybody in here has done that once they found out they could do that, right? Lord, give me a good parking spot. I don't want to walk. It's 112 out here. But I was reading in the book of Proverbs that the Lord, Proverbs 16 says, you know, it says in so many words, you know, commit thy works, you know, and your thoughts and your steps will be established. That tells me that when you put God, if you allow God to intervene and to be a part of your life, He will direct your steps on everything. That doesn't always mean you're going to get the perfect parking spot. Now, what God might be telling you is, no, sucker, you need to walk today. You're going to get the one way out there. That's your parking spot. They're all full. Ain't none out there. Let me help you find the perfect parking spot, Lord. And then you drive down about 150 cars, and God said, this is it. This is the one. All right. God might be telling you to walk today. Amen. I'm here to tell you that God is involved with every aspect of your life. Every part of it. I mean, we've talked about the Creator and the creation, right? In the past, we've always talked about, you know, the Creator cares about the creation. If you build a chair and that chair is broke any spot, you're going to do everything you can to fix that chair, right? Especially if it's one of them dining room table chairs, right, honey? That's a long story. We won't go there. But if you make something, if you own something, I mean, if you think about a vehicle, if something on a vehicle, you own this vehicle. And if something quits working that is a nuisance to you, let's say for instance, which is this one's usually the obvious, it's always usually this one. You know the little squirter that squirts the water up on the window? How many times has that broke on a car? Numerous times, or it don't squirt enough, or it's clogged up, or whatever. And sometimes you just need to get that window. I'm a get that window clean kind of guy. I don't like the window to be dirty, but sometimes it quits working, right? Well, if it's a nuisance to you, you're going to do everything you can to fix it, even though that is one thing on a vehicle that is probably the least important. You don't need the little squirter to work to drive the truck, right? You don't need the squirter to work. All you need is the motor to start and the transmission to push the rear end down the road, right? That's what makes the vehicle move. That's the most important. All the other little stuff is just floofy stuff, right? Just floofies. It's all the extras. God is involved in every little detail of your life. You got to believe that. He directs your step. Now, as Corey has told a couple of weeks ago, Corey had mentioned believing for an indoor arena. Okay? Now you gotta get a hold of this. This is really good. If you can be one of these people, It's like getting a plane ticket to your favorite getaway island. Because if you can get a hold of this and you're one of those people, I'm here to tell you that God is going to bless you like you ain't never been blessed. We are believing, okay? And this is the first time I think I've ever heard Corey do anything like this. You hear ministers on TV do this all the time. A lot of people say, yeah, these ministers are always believing for something so they can go, you know, do something in their ministry. My friends, let me tell you something. It takes money to spread the gospel. It always has and it always will. Money is a tool. Money is a tool. We are believing for 30 people to give $10,000. And the first day that he said that, we already had one come up and give. You want to be one of those? I'm here to tell you, if you can get on that train, it's going to be fun. That ride will be fun for you. We are believing because we're wanting to build an indoor arena here. And if you know anything about rodeo, and I know some of you guys that are new here, maybe you've never been to a cowboy church, maybe you don't know anything about how, you know, cowboys operate. This church is not specifically just for cowboys. It is for all people. But I'm here to tell you that we preach the full gospel at this church. And we believe in giving, but we also believe in receiving. And you've got to get that. Don't ever be a giver without believing that God's going to give it back to you. You don't want to be one of those. I'm here to tell you that religion has told us our whole lives that you're supposed to give and not receive. Well, if that's the case, why are you getting a paycheck at your job? You give your time so that you can get paid, right? You sow your time so that they can give back to you financially. That's the whole purpose of going. Because if they ain't going to give you a paycheck, you're going to do what? You're going to go find another job, right? So we are believing, and I believe by faith, I'm believing for this too. I want to be one of those 30. And I'm sure everybody in here is like, wow, $10,000, that's a lot of money. Think about what the flip side's going to be when you get the flip side or the blessing on the $10,000. I've seen what a $1,000 offering can do for you. I'm believing for the $10,000 offering. And then eventually I want to believe for the $100,000 offering. And then I want to eventually believe for the $1 million offering. Guys, I'm here to tell you, it happens. All over this planet, every day, ministries get $1 million offerings. That's how they travel. When I said that it takes money to travel and spend money to go around the world to spread the gospel, my friends, it is not cheap to put a satellite in space. It is not cheap. And the satellites ain't cheap, and it ain't cheap to get them there. But because those satellites are in space, the gospel is being spread all over the world. And that's what is one of the signs before Jesus comes to get us, is the gospel will be spread all over the world. I urge you to pray and start believing. If you don't have 10,000 and you want to be one of those people, start believing for it. That's what I'm doing. I'm believing for it. I'm like, God, I hope I'm one of those 30. I want to be one of those 30. I want to be. Don't be one of those, well, that's a lot of money. I could buy a car with that. If you were to sow 10,000 and get the offering off of 10,000, you could buy two or three cars. Brand new ones if you want. Well, you may not want to go into the brand new realm right now because of the way the inflation's working on cars. My wife can talk to you about that. But I'm here to tell you, even with inflation, God, you think God's moved by inflation? No. If God's moved by inflation, then we're worshiping the wrong God. We're following the wrong God. We are believing to build an indoor arena at this place. I'm here to tell you that things are going to happen for this place. Guys, this building we're in, if you're new here, this building is debt-free. We don't owe anything on this property. Nothing. We have 80 acres here, and this building, everything you see here is debt-free. You know how we got there? We believe for it. Corey believed for it. He was the starter. He's the one that started that. Because man will tell you that, yeah, you better go get a loan, get that church going. Because if you don't get that church going, it's going to be hard to get numbers there. It's going to be, you know, there's a system. The way the world thinks, there's always a system. There's always what do they call that in computers? Algorithm. There's an algorithm for that. If you don't do it this way, then you won't have any members. And if you don't get any members, the church won't take off. So if you don't borrow the money, you won't have anything to show the people, and if the people have nothing to look at, then they'll get uninterested and they'll just go find another church that already has a big church. that already has the kids ministry, that already has the Bible studies, etc., etc. We went about it the debt-free way. And guess what? That's the least stressful. Believing for 30 people, and you think, well, there, let's see, if you could count 30, there's probably close to 30 just in this one section over here, probably a little bit more. 30 people, that's a third, that's a fourth of everybody that's probably sitting in here. 30 people for $10,000. So when we talk about money, and you guys that are new here, you know, you've probably never been, maybe you've never been to a service where they talk about money. We talk about the blood, we talk about sin. If it's wrong, we tell you. We also believe financially that God wants to bless you financially. And He can, according to Proverbs 24, fill the rooms of your house if you'll just believe Him. Amen? Y'all come give us a big round of applause today. Come on up. You doing the special? Yeah, come on.
Amen. All y'all kids, everybody, all the kids in Children's Church, head to the back and meet Miss Mary. We're going to march in this morning. Y'all, this is the Lord's army. This is a future generation. And I'm so thankful that they're here this morning and willing to do this. And y'all just encourage them. Bless their little hearts. Amen. 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 Okay, everybody head to the back. We're getting lined up. I'm so thankful for the Spirit of the Lord in this church. And I'm so thankful for ministry that allows our children to participate and to come in and to learn who they are in the Lord and who the Lord says they are. I'm so thankful this morning. We're going to march in to the Lord's army, since this is the Lord's army. And y'all, if you know this song, if you grew up singing this song, sing this song and clap. We're going to clap as they come in to the Lord's army. Are we ready, Miss Mary? Okay, y'all ready? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Y'all say yes, sir. Amen. Okay, move over here. Move over here, y'all. Right here. Okay, this next song we're going to do is I've Got Peace Like a River. Got peace like a river. I've got love like an ocean. I've got joy like a fountain. Okay, y'all ready? If you know this, sing it with us too, okay? Okay, y'all ready? Y'all sing loud. These microphones are here. And y'all sing loud, okay? Ready? I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. Peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. Louder, 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 everybody. I've got love like the ocean, I got love like the ocean, I got love like the ocean in my soul. Louder. I've got love like the ocean, I've got love like the ocean, I've got love like the ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. Let's do it one more time real loud. Peace like a river. Yes. Yes. I've got love like the ocean. I got love like the ocean. Yes. Yes, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Now we're not done. We're not done. Get back up here. Okay, we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me this morning. And you know what? I'm so thankful that there's nothing that you have done or can do or will do that will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So thankful today. So that's right. We got a preacher up here this morning, I'm telling you now. Okay, now I want you to sing Jesus Loves Me just to the Lord. Sing to Jesus this morning, just loud as you can, okay? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Louder. Yes.
For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. Amen. Y'all give him a hand this morning.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Yep, we know which one's going to be in the band. I would probably have to be that guy. I didn't do all the singing. I'd just be the guy that would echo. Did y'all tell him to echo? Is that what it's called? Echoing, like echo the lyrics? Jesus loves me. Yep, Jesus loves me. Then you had one girl. Guys, that's how you do it right there. God don't care how you do it as long, he don't care how you get down as long as you get down. They tell you to clap with them, but I have too much fun laughing with them. The echo crowd, that's funny. That's funny. All right. Is youth going? All right. Y'all clap for the kids and the youth as they depart to go have a good time. Yes. Galatians 6. Yeah, we, speaking of that indoor arena and 30 people giving 10 grand, wants you to know this, and I forgot to tell you this, that our pastor gave the first 10,000. Okay? So, when we preach on something, whether it's tithes and offerings or whether it's the message, if we're not the ones that are doing what we're saying, you can lose integrity really quick. So if we preach something and we believe it, we got to do it. It's not by faith alone, but by works. And our pastor, he gave the first 10 grand towards that. So just want to let y'all know that. And he don't even take a salary to be here. So you new people that ain't even met our pastor yet, he don't even take a salary to be a minister here at all. So for him to give the first out of the 30 is that's saying something. That means that we do what we say. So just wanted to make sure everybody understood that. I forgot to mention that while we were talking about that. But moving right along, so title of this message is Don't Give Up and Don't Quit. I've had this on my mirror. I've had several scriptures on my mirror since probably right before COVID or right after COVID started last year. And I don't know about y'all, but last year, that was a learning experience, wasn't it? And now you're starting, I mean, I flew on a plane the other day and everybody's like, oh, get your mask up. You know, and every plane you get on, they want it over your nose, past your mouth. They want you to seal it off with caulk, you know, around here. So they sound like Darth Vader. You know. So, you know, you got to do, you know, you got to do wherever you go. In order to earn favor, you got to respect the laws or you lose favor pretty quick, right? You've got to follow the law. Whenever you're in an atmosphere, there are rules that you must follow. There's rules in a convenience store. There's rules in a church. There's rules in a restaurant. When you walk in somewhere, there's rules. You answer to somebody. So, you know, they're still making people on all the planes wear them, because you're sitting this close to each other and you're in a confined space. But I don't care. You know, do y'all care? I don't care. I'm to the point where I'm like, you know, I'll just get out, and if they tell me to put it on, I put it on. Otherwise, I'm going in without it. You got to just learn to, and this not, you know, it's a faith thing. You have to believe by faith that you're going to be protected by the blood of Jesus, but you also have to take care of your body so that you don't put yourself, your health, into a compromising position, right? Because if you put your health in a compromising position, God's like been probably telling you for the past few years, hey, you need to get in shape, take the proper nutrition. Guys, I've been taking nutritional vitamins here for the past 6 months, 8 months, and it has changed my health. I'm telling you, it has made me feel so much better. Learn to do good, the Bible says. Learn to do the right thing for yourself. If it means, you know, exercise, I don't know where I'm going with this, but anyway. Don't give up, don't quit. I don't know what it has to do with this. Maybe some of you are having a hard time exercising. I don't know, whatever. But if God's telling you to exercise, start with 5 minutes. I'm telling you, get on the treadmill, walk in a circle, get outside and walk laps around your property. Do something. Walk down the street a block and come back. That'll be the start. But you got to take care of yourself in these end times. It is, you know, who knew that a virus was going to shut down the whole planet? I mean, I think the last time that the planet was shut down was Noah's Ark, where the whole planet was shut down. That's a long time ago, people. And to think one little tiny virus, something you can't even see, could make that much difference in the whole world. We don't know what's coming. We don't know if, you know, there's going to be, you know, meteors hitting the earth and causing, you know, tsunamis all over the planet. We don't know. Right now, there's 60-something volcanoes that are active. There's been prophets this past year saying, hey, this year I'm feeling volcanoes, which volcanoes there's always been a few of them active, I'm sure, year round, but there's 64 right now. That's a lot of volcanoes. That's a lot of lava. I think it was in South America the other day, they had one and it killed a whole bunch of people. It was a pretty big eruption, but I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with all that, but I'm here to tell you that you need to take care of yourself and you need to get in this word. To learn everything you need to know. Knowledge is important. God will bless you and help you, but He also wants you to do some digging too. He wants you to dig and get out the shovel and get after it. Okay? You can't wait. Don't be one of those where you're just going to sit around and wait for God to do everything. Because if that was the case, we don't need to study. We don't need to learn God's Word. We wouldn't even need this. If God's going to take care of everything, we didn't need this Word. Right? Because if He wrote this Word so that we could learn from it and go somewhere with it and learn, the Bible says wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's three things that we have to learn. We have to be great at. The whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And he talks about wisdom, how wisdom, the spirit of wisdom is always in the streets looking for someone to listen. Always looking for someone that will listen. And if you'll be one of those people, then God will start talking to you. Nobody talks more than God. Nobody. Your friends don't talk more than God. God is always talking to you. He is always using people. He is talking to you personally. Sometimes it comes in an audible voice. Sometimes it comes through a dream. How many of y'all dream? Every single night I dream. I wake up with a dream every single day. My wife, she could tell you some stories about her dreams. And I have watched at least three in the past year come to pass just like that. Some of them the next day. And it's as small as a cat being in the barn. Okay? Have y'all heard that story? I don't know if I've told y'all that. She had a dream that there was a cat in the barn. Don't know why. She just had a dream there was a cat in the barn. Next day she wakes up, the kids go out to feed, they come back in and say, hey mom! There's a cat in the barn. And she was doing sit-ups, and she sat up and goes, what color was it? Colors matter. They said, it's an orange cat. She goes, oh my God. Now, does the orange cat mean anything? Maybe not. But it could be a sign that God's trying to talk to you and he's giving you proof and evidence that he is still talking to you. I had a dream the other night. I was driving down the road. And the reason I'm telling you this, because my son had one very similar to it just a few days later. And he told me about it yesterday, and I was like, wow, I had one very, very similar to that. I had a dream. I'm driving down the road. You know, all the protesters that are on the streets, you know, you see protesters in the streets. A lot of times in these days, you got the lesbian, gay, LGBTQ, whatever they are. I don't know all the letters. They're always protesting. You got Black Lives Matter. You've got, people, the woke generation that's mad because, you know, they're getting offended. Okay. And the Christians are like, well, you're offended. That's your problem. You know, so that's kind of how we operate. You know, we don't intend to offend, but if you're offended, it's still your choice. So anyway, I had a dream. I'm driving down the road and there's people over here in the LGBTQ something. I forgot the letters, but they're all protesting. And one of them was a lesbian, and she jumps and gets mad because we drive by and she could tell that I was a Christian somehow. She jumps on the hood of my car. Okay? And I'll go somewhere with that here in just a second. Jumps on the hood of my car. So I'm in the passenger seat. We pull over. I jump out and I chase her around. And by the time I get around to the other side of the car, it was a different person. So I grab that person and put them in a headlock. Because that's what you're supposed to do, right? No. But the good part is what I was trying to do, and this probably means something somehow symbolically, but I grabbed him and put him in a headlock. I didn't throw him to the ground, but I put him in a headlock and was standing up with him. And I said, give me that wisdom Bible in the passenger seat. And they handed it to me and I showed it to him and I said, how much of this do you know? And I just held it in front of his face. That's where the dream ended. A few days later, my son has a dream. He's going to go with my wife to go buy some product, you know, because everything's, you know, for sale on Facebook. So, you know, we're going, that's how you find things nowadays, right? To buy. So they're going to buy something together, him and my wife. They're driving down the road. They pull up to this house, and this house, the person that owned this product they were going to buy, were a bunch of Satanists, devil worshipers. So they could tell that my son, very similar to my dream, right, was a Christian. And guess what those devils did? The devils made those people get on the hood of the car. So he backs out, he puts it in reverse, or mom does. I don't know if Jet was driving or mom was driving, but they put it in reverse and they take off just to get out, just to get away from them. And I think he said they got them off, they threw them off the car, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? Put them in a headlock, you throw them off the car. you do whatever you can to get them off of you, right? Yeah, sure. So I'm here. So I tell you all that because God is talking to us. And he talks more than anybody. And if there's a time when he can catch you and talk to you, it's when you're sleeping. You know why? Because you're still. It is easy to be distracted. Like I said last week after Ricky's message, if there's one thing that can distract you in life, it's your cell phone. Everything, if you think about it, think about how many times you've made a sandwich at the bar. I catch myself doing this all the time. Make a sandwich, you're making a sandwich, what are you doing? And the TV's on and you're distracted. And you're going over here and you're doing this and you're distracted. And you're going over here and how many of you get distracted real easy? How many of you have had to work on that? Next question. How many of you have had a hard time learning how to listen when people talk? Oh man, that's a tough one. You know why? Distractions. Your mind should be, and they'll tell you about Donald Trump. They'll tell you the one thing that makes him so amazing is he is a great listener. That's what's made him so successful. He knows how to hear the other side of the story and say, what is it that you need out of this transaction? Talk to me. And then they'll tell him what they need. And then he makes it work in the contract. That's why he makes the money that he makes, because he knows how to appeal to both sides. Every millionaire that has ever done major contracts will tell you the number one thing to do is to make sure that both sides are happy before you walk away from the contract table. If both sides ain't happy, you can bet there's probably going to be a lawsuit on the flip side of the contract. You have to get rid of the distractions and learn how to focus in these end times. Learn how to listen, and learn how to listen when God's talking to you. And if you're dreaming, and you dream, and you wake up the next day, and something happens, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is deja vu." It may not be deja vu. It is deja vu. It could be something that's already happened, or maybe you've already experienced it, and it was probably in a dream, or maybe sometimes it is deja vu. You've already been to that place before, and you're just re-experiencing it in your mind. But I'm telling you right now that God is talking to you now more than ever. In these end times, the Bible says the Spirit will be poured out. Now, when the Spirit is poured out, that means the cup is being emptied. When it's being poured out, when He's just giving you a few drops, that's one thing. But when He turns it upside down and pours it on you, it's going to intensify. The birth pangs are going to be more intense the closer we get to the rapture. It starts out as, you know, things happening in the earth, and they're spread out really far. Is it when I said Noah's Ark? It's been a long time since the world's been shut down, guys. Noah's Ark was a long time ago. Like what, 2,000 plus, or maybe even 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, right? So the birth pains are farther apart, but God always compares situations in the Bible to birth pains. The closer you get to 9 months, the more intense the birth pains are. So in these last days, God's going to be talking to you even more. Because why? He's going to try to save as many as He can. Because He knows that it's coming close. It's getting closer. Guys, we ain't never seen this world like this. And I can still remember driving down the road when I was a kid, hearing my dad say to me, I can still remember exactly where I was on the highway, hearing my dad say, "Man, son, the world is bad right now. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when you have kids." Well, here we are. And it's really bad. The birth pains are going to be more intense, but the good thing is that God's going to start talking more. You know why? Because we're probably going to need it. We're going to need what God has to tell us, because He's going to try to get us to help others get saved as fast as we can. There ain't never been a time like right now. We've got people in Congress bad-mouthing Israel and our own nation. I'm like, if you hate us that bad, why are you here? Well, the only thing I can think of is that they're here to bring us down with them. That's the only thing I can think of. If it's bad where they were, and they have this ideology that it's supposed to be bad, they're not here to make it better. They're here to make it worse. They're up there because they have an ideology that there should not be any people that are superior or over. And right now, the United States, the flying eagle, is the most superior nation on the planet. So they think we got to bring them down. We got to make them on, you know, level with us. We got to make everybody equal. Ain't everybody equal. It ain't never been like that. It ain't never going to be like that. Never. But there are people in our country that think that our country is wrong. My son can tell you that there are people in his classroom, when they stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance every day, they just stand here like this. And they don't care nothing about it. And they're mad because they have to stand up and do it every day. And my son had to tell them, well, it's about, you know, respecting all those that have came before us that spilled their blood on this land. Or spilled their blood on other lands. Regardless of whether you agree with it or disagree with it, the fact that you're able to stand there with your hands behind your back, that price was paid for by somebody else. And the reason we're able to walk around in this land, in this country, is because Jesus spread His blood. Or spilled His blood. That's the reason we're able to do what we do, is because something else had to die. That's the law of the blood. The law of the blood says that something has to die so that something else can live. That's why antelope are killed by lions and cats. That's why things die. That's why other things are able to eat other things, because something has to die so that something else can live. That's the law of the blood. It's the way it's always been. So don't give up and don't quit. So y'all take that for whatever, whatever it's worth. Let me get to my message now. Galatians chapter 6. So I've had this don't give up, don't quit on my mirror with several scriptures for well over a year now. And I'm going to take you to three different books right quick, as fast as I can, and show you how we have to have the hang in there ability in these end times. I say this because I'm kind of tail ending on what Ricky talked about last week with patience. There ain't nothing more important right now than patience. And in the cell phone issue, I brought that up last week because there's nothing more impatient that'll make you more impatient than a cell phone when you don't have service. Right? Can't believe I can't get service. Golly! I pay $300 a month for these things. I always thought if I'm gonna pay that much for a phone, that sucker should work year round. All the time, everywhere I go, there should never be a problem, right? But that's not the way the world operates anymore because we don't have landlines that we used to pay. We used to pay a lot of money for those landlines. Y'all remember those? And you had to call long distance. I remember not being able to call long distance because my dad wouldn't let me because they had to pay for it. Well, now it's just all rolled into the bill, you know. You think you're not paying for it, but you really are. But you get the luxury of having all the technology at your fingertips. But if there's one thing that can make you impatient, it's a cell phone or the internet. Because we have to have it. We crave it. There's so much information that's available at our fingertips. We have to have it. And when we can't get it, we get mad and we get impatient. It's a good thing, but it can also be a curse to you. It's great because of everything it offers, but it can also be a curse because it can start messing with your emotions. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, but each one, I'm reading the Amplified, must carefully scrutinize his own work, examining his actions, his attitudes, and behavior. And then he can have the personal satisfaction of inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing himself to another. You have to be proud of your own work. It is so easy. The way people operate now, it is so easy to want to compare yourself to somebody else. But you know what that does? When you start comparing yourself to somebody else, you know what it does? Is it makes it easy. It takes the stress and the pressure off of you. It's kind of like saying, oh, I'm not responsible for that. When you say I'm not responsible for that, it relieves the pressure. Right? When you're always comparing yourself to someone else, you are not doing it God's way. You know why? Because he didn't make us all the same. We have always been individuals with individual gifts. You are not one of these is not like the other one of these. You never heard that song? You're not like anybody else ever on this planet. You are not like the other person. You might do a lot of things similar to what they do, but you're nothing like them. Even if you have the same gifts as somebody else, your gift is still unique in probably one or two little areas. You have to believe that our Creator made every single person on this planet individually. Why do we have the inventions that... This is what I hate about our school systems. I love being able to talk to these kids and teach these kids, but one thing I hate more than anything is the collective education. Oh, we got to teach everybody the same thing so that when they get done, they can all take the same test and we can all make sure we're all on the same page here. They're, in a lot of ways, they're training people to be the collective, always comparing themselves to everybody else instead of being an individual. The reason why we have the inventions on this planet, and a lot of them were in the United States, is because of individual skills. Y'all have heard me preach on this so many times, and I love to talk about it. The reason we have light bulbs is because somebody got tired of lighting candles. Right? What caused that to happen? Well, it wasn't a collective education because I don't even think it really existed yet. Everybody had to learn on their own. Our founding fathers weren't collectively educated. They were independent. They individually taught themselves. A lot of them have second and third grade educations. Now, if you tell me that you got to go to college to be successful, I tell you you're lying to yourself. There are billionaires on this planet that quit college. Now, am I saying quit college if you're going right now? That is not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm here to tell you that if you make college or school your provider for knowledge, you're doing it wrong. The reason we have what we have here is because there were individuals. How would you explain Elon Musk? Who on this planet is doing what he's doing right now? I'm not talking about his integrity. I'm not going to talk about his personal life. I could care less. But what the man does as an individual, the same with Bezos of Amazon. Who can explain that? The man has a larger, Amazon, I think they have a larger delivery service than FedEx or UPS probably combined. They say, we got so darn big, we got to start our own delivery service. FedEx and UPS can't keep up with us. We got to get our own trucks out there on the road. We got to get, we can still use those other guys, but we got to get this going. We got to get them packages delivered to all these people that are on Facebook buying stuff. Right? The reason we have what we have is because individuals, not collective, I'm not saying that there weren't people helping those people, but what I'm here to tell you is that you are an individual and what you have is special to no other body. No other person has what you have. And you have to believe that. You cannot compare yourself to other people. If you're comparing yourself to other people, then that other person should get part of your reward. Because if you're doing it like he's doing it, and he's giving you the ideas, then I think he should share the reward with you. Am I right? I know that's a hard one to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow right there when you're having to think like that. But when you do it on your own, you own it. It's yours. Do you think Michael Jordan walked into the Chicago Bulls and said, you know what? I'm going to be like that guy. You think Tiger Woods walked out on the golf course and said, I want to be like that guy. Now, he's always had people that he looked up to. But did you think Tiger with his 80, I don't even think I've played 85 rounds of golf in my lifetime. And that guy's won 85 tournaments. Yeah, I want to do it like, yeah. Oh, let me watch him. Let me see how he does it. Let me see. Oh, yeah, I need to do it like that. Tell me how you, no. Tiger Woods walked out there and did it the way he wanted to do it. And he was the pioneer. Now there's so many of them. There's so many people that play golf just like him and are just as good. But he didn't walk out there and say, I want to be like that guy and start comparing himself. He said, I'm going to be different. My name is Tiger. A name like Tiger, you got to be an individual, right? The don't quit and don't give up attitude has got to be something that Christians master these days. I'm going to try to preach as fast as I can. There's so much I want to say. Verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5 says, for every person will have to bear with patience his own burden of faults and shortcomings for which he alone is responsible. When you create your own thing, you bear the responsibility of it. You relieve the pressure if you try to compare yourself. Now, when you make your own thing, here's the good part, is you get to experience the whole reward for yourself. You don't have to share it with somebody else. You own it. It is, now think about this, it is more stressful that way. But how many of you know that sometimes a little, not saying stress as in stress that pushes you to the point of depression and, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm telling you is that pain creates change. That's why people made the light bulb. They got tired of saying, bring me the candle. Okay? When you experience a little bit of pain, I'm not saying too that you have to experience pain to be successful. I'm not saying that. But what I'm telling you is that when you have experienced a little bit of pain or a little bit of stress, when you experience those things, your body and your mind start making changes. And how many of you know change is a good thing? Change has always been good. How many of you get tired of seeing the same old thing? How many of you are tired of driving that old car? How many of you are tired of living in that old house? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you know that new is a good thing? If you tell me that you'd rather drive that old junker than drive a new one, you're lying. You're lying to me. Now, unless it's a 69 Camaro. Now, I can understand driving that old car. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you've got a 92 Honda Civic with 400,000 miles on it and the thing barely runs. If you say, I'd rather drive that than a Dodge Dually diesel, then you're lying to me. Yeah, I'm going to be broke the rest of my life. Well, you ain't doing it right. If you have been told that it's better to be broke because God told you to be broke, then you read the wrong Bible. Because my Bible don't say that. It is not good for you to struggle in life. Now, does struggle create change? Yes. Struggle in life and pain will always cause you to make changes. And when you start making changes, you start seeing new. You start seeing new things. How many of you think to yourself right now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you in your mind, don't raise your hand, are thinking to yourself that, wow, $10,000 for an indoor arena, that's a lot of money. I don't know, how am I going to do that? How am I going? All of us in here would love to be rich. And if you were rich, what happens when you get rich? You turn into the most excellent giver on all the planet. You turn into an amazing giver. Well, I want to buy so-and-so this. I've always wanted to buy my friend this. She struggled her whole life. I want to buy her a new car. Money creates happiness. And if you don't believe that, then you've read the wrong Bible. The Bible specifically says that money can create changes in your life. Prosperity. The Bible talks more about prosperity and money and gold and silver than it talks about faith in the whole Bible. It talks more about prosperity than it talks about faith. Isn't that something? Man, when I found out that, I'd grown up my whole life not thinking that you could be rich or have money or that you were supposed to just get by in life. You'll never get ahead. Blah, blah, blah. When I found out, when I started coming to this church and Corey, over when we were in that building over there on the Smiling V, before we ever got to here, when I'd heard tithes and offerings preached in the church, I was like, man, this dude might go to hell for talking about this. And I was thinking to myself, I've never heard this preached in a church. I never got to watch TBN. You know, if you watch Christian television, you probably watched it your whole life. I'd never got to do that. You know why? Because I didn't have cable. We didn't have cable where we were. And you had to get a satellite. How many of y'all remember the satellites from the 70s and the 80s? They ain't like this anymore. They were like this. And if your neighbors had one, you're like, my gosh, that guy's rich, man. The only time you see satellites like that anymore is at places where they have satellites in the space, where they actually own the satellites that are in space. And they got those gigantic, big old, it's bigger than that wall. And my neighbor had one, and he had a log cabin. I was like, man, this dude got lots of money. And all we had was four channels when you had to go up, turn the TV knob. Remember you had to get up. Hey, go change that channel 7. You had to get up. You got to go turn the knob. Remember those days? Verse 7. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, this is so good. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. Now, if you read the classic Amplified, and I'm sure some of y'all have the classic, mine doesn't have it, but the classic Amplified says, he will inevitably delude himself who attempts to delude God. How many of you know in churches today they're trying to delude God? They're trying to, let me tell you something. God is a concentrate. He don't need no water added to him. He is one of a kind. Churches today are diluting God's word. They don't talk about money. They're afraid to talk about money. They're afraid people might get offended and leave. If you get offended and leave, God will deal with you on your own. He's not going to come to us and say, how dare you offend him. Now, let me tell you something. If pastor says something behind the pulpit and they're wrong, God will correct them. I guarantee you. I can promise you that. It will get corrected. And they will probably eventually stand in the pulpit and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said this, or I didn't say it correctly, and it actually means this. This is the revelation that I've gotten, and I was wrong. But I'm here to tell you, if you're offended, you have a problem. And you don't have a problem with the preacher, you got a problem with God. Because if you don't agree, and just because I'm standing up here saying it doesn't make it right. What makes it right is what the Bible says. Because I'm not preaching it because I thought of all these things that I should say. What I'm telling you is what I have read, my revelation of it. But I'm here to tell you that there are churches out there that are deluding God and they're making him watered down. They're trying to water him down so they can get all the sinners to come in, and then they just keep it watered down. I'm not saying you can't earn favor with people. Don't go and find somebody that's a Satanist and start slapping them with the Jesus stick, because I can guarantee you they're going to jump on the hood of your car. What I am telling you is to earn favor with those people. And if it means being their friend for 6 months so that you can share the gospel with them in 6 months when they're struggling financially or they're having problems in their marriage or they're having problems with their kids, that is how you earn favor and get the minister of the gospel. The reason they follow Jesus, the reason thousands of people follow Jesus is because he earned favor. He didn't just walk in there and just start, "Hey, you're all going to hell. I'm the Son of Man." No. He healed people. How many of you know healing earns favor? When you start laying hands on people and seeing them get saved, set free, healed, delivered, you start seeing favor happen. Why? Because people want to be a part of it. There ain't a person on this planet that ain't struggling with something. I don't care how in shape you are, you're always trying to get in better shape. I don't care how financially rich you are, you're always trying to get richer. And if you're not, you ain't probably doing it right. Because God said that he said to go. God said go into all the world. He didn't say go over to your house and hang out there for a while. He said go into all the world and spread the gospel. If you quit earning and trying to get ahead in life, then eventually you're just going to be stagnant. You're going to be complacent. There's nothing wrong with being content, but don't be complacent. God is trying to do something with his people in these end times. He is trying to do something. And it's the faster that you get a hold of his word, the faster he starts using you. You have to be qualified. If you never read your word and never try to earn, you know, learn anything, guess what's going to happen the first time somebody walks up to you and needs to know, you know, how to fix their depression moment? How are they going to get out of this spirit of depression? Well, first of all, you have to know that the Word says that, you know, there are spirits out there. I mean, we have a spirit in our body. We know that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. But guess what? There's devils out there too. And those spirits are all over this planet. What are you going to do if you don't take the time to learn the gospel? He can't use you to minister to anybody who's struggling in any area of their life if you don't know what to tell them. Because the only thing you're going to be able to tell them is, "Hey, let me call my pastor and I'll get back to you in a week." Well, that dude might be dead in a week. I've driven by people that have committed suicides. I've driven down the road, and one of them happened right over here near County Road 282 one time. I'm driving and taking my kid to work, and there's a dude laying under the tree over there because he killed himself. Found out later that he had a marriage problem, and I guess it didn't end well. Well, he just walked out of the neighborhood. I think it's San Gabriel neighborhood. It's up on that hill, and you go up that long hill on 282, I think. It's there on the left, and it overlooks Liberty Hill. He just walked out the gate, walked down the road, and I guess he had just found a spot where he thought, well, that was a good spot to end it right there. And he was laying dead under the trees over there. Did I stop? I had a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old with me at the time, so they already had somebody there with them, so I was like, oh boy. I didn't want my kid saying, "Hey, what's wrong with that guy over there? He's dead." I didn't want my kid to see that. If I wouldn't have had my kid with me, I'd have probably stopped. But there was already somebody that stopped and was talking to that lady. Because that lady had saw him laying over there. And I guess she had walked over and saw him. And saw that he had, you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what? The suicide rates have increased since COVID. I've had kids, and I don't know if they're in here or not. I've had kids come up to me from other schools and say, "I'm getting phone calls all the time. All the time from kids that are struggling right now." Because what happened in COVID? Everything got shut down, and kids need what? What do they need? They need social life. Guess what they lost when COVID hit? They lost their social life. Now, for some of y'all, y'all are probably thinking, "My gosh, I need a break." And I'm sure everybody, I needed one too, I'm telling you. But the suicide rate increased dramatically. Dramatically. What are you going to do when those kids call? What are you going to do when someone calls and said, "You know, I can't find a job. You know, COVID really hurt our economy and the business that I work in. It really destroyed it. So my closest job to work right now is like 4 hours away. I can't figure out if I need to move there and take that job or if I need to find a different job." There are a lot of people struggling right now, but I'm here to tell you, don't give up and don't quit. Don't quit. I'm here to tell you that when you experience a door that's in front of you, there is always a blessing on the other side of that door. When you come to a wall, there is a blessing on the other side of that wall. And it's just a matter of how fast are you going to tear that wall down. They walked around Jericho for 7 days. 7. And God said, "Don't say a word and just walk." How many of you could actually do that? How many people could actually walk around a wall for 7 days and not say a word and then go, you know, eat dinner at night? You know, man, that was a long walk today. It was 112 out there. Whew, that was a long, whew. Wonder how long God's going to make us do this. And then you know, you walk to your chair and you sit down. You ever had one of them days where you work so darn hard and sweated? I've had a few of those here lately. I've had a few of those where you go in at noontime and you just change all your clothes because you're soaked. You know, you walk around that wall for the first day and you know, it's not too bad. But the second and the third day, it starts getting a little bit harder, right? Why? Because, well, you weren't really the type that liked to walk. You weren't the exercise type. So you're having to walk around the wall. 7 days. And then on the seventh day, what happened? The wall came down. What was on the other side of that wall? Jericho. God said, it's yours. Said, that is your space. That is your place right there. You own that. 7 days to walk around a wall. Can you imagine God telling you to walk around your house 7 days? Or walk down the street 7 days in a row and you come back on the seventh day, I'll give you a new truck. A guy will come to your house, give you a new truck. I'd get out there, I'd crawl a block and crawl back if I had to for 7 days to get a new truck, wouldn't y'all? God might use dreams, He might talk to you in some weird way, might tell you to go to the gas station. This has happened to me before. I've been to the gas station and a guy showed me a book. He was having a hard time, he's a police officer, and I showed up driving somebody else's vehicle, and he pulls this book out of his car and says, look, he's having a hard time in life, he's a police officer. This is like 10 years ago. He pulls this book out and I said, whoa, I just finished reading that book. And he started talking about everything that was in that book, and I started talking to him about everything in life that he needed to, you know, do to fix whatever. And it was a Christian book by a Christian author. And I was like, dude, everything in this book is exactly right. You need to stay focused on God, and he'll get you through whatever it is you're doing. I don't know what he was struggling with, but he was definitely dealing with something. And this dude, I pulled up and he just comes, you know how people go across the pump and go talk to the guy next to him. Hey, them gas prices are high, aren't they? Yep. How them gas prices are getting high, I think I'm going to sell my truck. You know how the conversations start. And then eventually conversation leads to, yeah, I've been struggling a little bit. And then that's your door. That's the door, guys. You're going to have those opportunities. God might tell you to go to the gas station, hang out at the QT and get you a brisket taco and just hang out for a little bit. And if he does, go down. They're good brisket tacos. I promise you, they're good. You got to trust in God and you got to have the ability to hang in there. Okay? Hang in there. Do not dilute the Word of God. Do not take the tithes and offerings out. Do not take out the money concept. Do not take out the speaking in tongues concept. Do not take out the law of the blood concept. It all applies. I'm here to tell you, it all applies. If you don't believe that stuff, then you might as well rip those pages out of the book because they don't apply. If you don't think they apply to you, then you're just basically telling God, you know what, I like your book, but I don't like this part. And He's going to look at you and say, you know what, I like who I made, but I don't like the way you're acting. I don't like what you're doing. You got to consider God in all this too. I mean, God has a sense of humor. He has personalities just like we do. You have to consider the way God thinks too. If you're always thinking about, well, I don't like this. Well, what do you think God thinks about you not liking it? A lot of people don't ever think about that. They're always thinking about what's best for them. Well, what do you think? Nobody ever says, well, what do you think, God? If He cares about all the little stuff, you can talk to Him just like that. Like, God, I don't care what vernacular or dialect you talk in. If you just talk like you normally talk, say, God, I don't understand this. And you can throw your hands in the air and wave your hands around, and then, you know, eventually He's just going to give it to you. And I'm here to tell you that you better get ready for some stern words, because sometimes God don't just lay it on you, you know, really soft. Oh, that's okay, son. You know, it's okay. Just raise your stick and put it on the water and the Red Sea will part, you know. No, sometimes God will slap you in the face a little bit and say, wake up, sucker. I've been telling you this for 10 years. And now now you're just finally reaping the harvest on it. It's taken 10 years to get here, but now you're reaping the harvest. And if you'd have done what I told you to 10 years ago, you wouldn't be dealing with this right now. I've always said it like this. God doesn't walk around the bush. He just burns the bush. He just burns it. Burn it to the ground. Sometimes He will come with fire, and sometimes He will come in a cloud with rain. A beautiful refreshment. But sometimes He brings fire. Remember when, was it Elijah? Who said, all you false prophets, I think it was Elijah, all you false prophets, you go and you make your little altar, and then over here you build my altar. And he said, over here on my altar that I'm about to set on fire, go get thousands and thousands of gallons of water in your little buckets and pour them on the altar, and God will bring fire from heaven. Well, what did God do? He brought fire from heaven. And them other guys, they were all calling on their god, Baal or Baal or Whippersnapper or whatever their god's name was. They said, oh, let's light this thing on fire. It never came. And guess what Elijah did? Elijah said, pour water on my altar and see if it don't light on fire. And guess what? Fire flew from heaven and lit the altar on fire. Man, that would have been, I'd love to have been there for that one. Woo! I got to see this. I'm going to get my binoculars out. I can't wait to see fire fall from heaven on this deal. Verse 8 says, for the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The people that turn away from God, or they quit going to church, or they don't like this church, or they don't like that because the preacher said something that offended them, they always seek the flesh. What does the flesh say? They always turn back to the flesh. And there are people right now, you're seeing it in the news, there are people that have been singing Christian music on K-Love, and a lot of them are coming out and saying, you know what, I don't believe all that godly stuff. I've been thinking about this for 5 or 10 years now. I don't believe all that. There are people turning away from the faith. You don't see a whole lot of it in the news because it's not, I guess the worldly news doesn't think of it as a very big deal because they don't really care about God anyway. So they don't really consider it a big deal if somebody decides not to sing Christian music anymore. But it's out there. There are people that are following the gospel and they're thinking, oh yeah, this is good stuff. Yeah, and then they hang in. They're just hanging in by threads. And then when the threads are finally cut, they're like, I don't believe in all this stuff. You're going to see that. You're going to see people falling away from the faith. Doesn't mean they can't get saved again. Doesn't mean you can't draw them back in. But there's people going to fall away. Verse 9, I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. And I think this is where I got it when I originally found it. I was listening to some minister, I think, on TV, and when I read the message, it just slapped me in the face. Verse 9, in verse 10, it says in the Message, you know how they always combine them? They combine these verses. So it says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. So if you read the King James, 6 and 9 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. That what they're saying there is don't quit, don't give up, don't give up. Hang in there, 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 hang in there. I mean, if there's anybody that's never gave up, it's Tom Brady. Anybody with me on that? That guy, woo! Anywhere that guy goes, he wins. Whether you like him in Deflategate or whatever you want, whether you like him or not, the dude's a winner. He don't quit. He's 40-something years old. There's not many 40-year-olds playing linebacker in the NFL. Not many. I don't think there's any, really. But a guy to be throwing touchdown passes, you know, you're the guy. Who's always the stud muffin at the high schools? It's the quarterback. They're always talking about the quarterbacks. That's the guy that puts the points on the board. Now, the defense will tell you, no, 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 no. The reason you're good is because we're good. We stop them from scoring. All you got to do is put 1 point on the board. Defense, they'll always tell you, you know, we're numero uno around here. And when they intercept a pass, you know how defense, you know, in defense, when they intercept a pass and they score a touchdown, they get to do that special stuff on the sideline, like they get to slam the ball into the trash can or whatever it is they do. They are so excited about scoring touchdowns. You know why? Because they got it in their head. Like, I've got to get that ball. That ball's mine. I've got to get that ball. That ball's mine. I cannot believe they're playing with my ball. And when they see that ball on the ground, it's a big deal. Oh, that's a big deal. Them guys are running. They're running to get to the pigskin. It's amazing, that little bitty ball. Everybody wants to touch that little bitty ball. And when the defense gets an interception, they're like, oh, woo! Oh, boy. All right, who do I get to smack? You know, they can't wait to go find somebody to smash because their guy got the interception and we're trying to score a touchdown. It's because they have this don't quit mentality. I can't wait for that ball to get snapped. I just can't wait. Oh, God, I can't. Who are they going to hand it to? Is it this guy or is it that guy? Because whenever they get it, I'm running down. They call it downhill running. So they teach you as linebacker, lineman, they always teach you it's called downhill. So your first step is always downhill. It's not back. If you take a step back, you're already beat. You're done. That guy comes to beat you, they've already gained. You just think about it. You take one step back, and think about this spiritually too. You take one step back, the devil's got you what? He's got you backpedaling. If the devil can get you backpedaling, it's going to be hard to turn it around, because it's hard to stop the backpedal and start pushing them forward again, right? Because your body posture isn't right, your spiritual posture isn't right. But linebackers are always, and linemen are always taught to go downhill, downhill. First step is downhill. Always look for the run. You take the first step here. If they're running it, go smash them. If not, then you turn and backpedal, because they're not running the ball, they're looking to pass. But those guys, they don't ever give up. They don't quit, because they can smell the football. They can smell the leather on the football, and they just know that if they get their hands on it, they're going to score. They don't quit. They don't ever give up. I always like to compare football players. It's easy to compare the don't quit attitude to football players, because they're like meatheads. A lot of them are meatheads. And all they care about is just smashing the other guy. That's all they care about. And that's good. That's how you have to be. You can't do that in golf. But in football, this is my chance to hurt somebody. And if they get hurt, they're like, "Oh, right, we accomplished our goal." Then they go back to the huddle. You know, yeah, we hurt the dude. You've got to have the don't quit attitude. You've got to be like a linebacker, always stepping down. Down, set, hut. Here we go. I'm going downhill. Devil's trying to throw something at you. You got to be willing to go downhill. You got to go downhill. You got to be going forward all the time. Because if that devil rocks you back, it's going to be hard to turn it back around. So he says, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good at the right time. We'll harvest a good crop if we don't give up or don't quit. That's what it says in the Message Bible. If we don't give up or don't quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, this is verse 10, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people close to us in the community of faith. My friends, you have to get a hold of the fact that we have got to build each other up. If there's one place that fighting happens, it's in the churches. All the time. Oh, I don't like what he said up there in the pulpit. Or I don't like that guy. Or I don't like this guy because she didn't have coffee ready for me at the coffee machine when I got here this morning. I don't like where I'm having to sit. The ushers keep sitting me in the wrong spot. I want to sit in the second row instead of the third row. I want to sit in the front row instead of the back row. And they keep sitting me in. Well, get here earlier then. Amen? You want to sit on the front row, wherever you want to sit. None of these seats are assigned seats. A lot of people think, well, the preacher's, well, in some churches, you know, the pastor has a seat up here, or, you know, pastor at my original seat, Kenny, was right there. But I wasn't in it. You know where I was? In a different seat. That was my seat right there. And then Corey told us to start sitting in the middle. Remember, about 2 or 3 years ago, he started telling us to sit in the middle. So I said, okay, I'll sit in the middle. So this is the middle. And Kenny took my chair. And I was like, that's my comfortable chair. It's my wonderful chair. Because it faces perfectly this way. So when I'm up here, Kenny has he's already got the straight on view right here. Right there, I have to turn. So when Corey's moving over here, moving over there, I got to turn. My legs are crossed. I got to turn this way and I got to turn. I'm always having to turn and look. There are not assigned seats in this church. If you want a seat, get here early. Quit waiting for the music to be over to get here because you don't like the music. You don't like standing up and praising work. Well, we got to stand there. We got to clap. You know, I don't like doing all that because I'm too proud to do it. I'm here to tell you, you ain't doing it right. If there's one thing that's important to God, it's music. You know who the lead worship leader was in heaven? A long time ago, Satan, Lucifer, one of the three of the archangels, this dude, when he just existed with music. He didn't have to do this or this or this. When he walked, he made music. Now, if music wasn't important, why would God allow something? And he gave him an opportunity and said, you know what, you can dwell in heaven here. You're going to be the music guy. But how many of you know? I mean, think about all those rock bands. Now, I'm not dissing rock because I like rock too, but think about how many of those rock bands have pride. Why do they have pride? Because there's thousands and thousands looking at them. They stand up there behind the mic and they're singing. They get the crowd going. There's all, you know, y'all been to concerts. Don't lie. What goes on at those concerts? A lot of stuff that probably ain't godly, right? But when you're standing up there with the mic and you've got control over the whole audience, you're telling them to do this. You're telling them, you know, jump around, you know. Remember that song? Get up off your feet and jump around. You hear it at all the baseball games, all the football games. Pride enters a man's heart. What did Satan do when he went to Jesus when he was fasting for 40 days? I'll give you all of this. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to put the same thing that he had inside of him into Jesus. He was trying to put that prideful heart into Jesus. He's like, look at all these kingdoms, Jesus. Look at all this. I'll give you all of this. Pride. I don't care if you're a country singer. I don't care if you're Bing Crosby. I don't care if you're, you know, just a piano player. I don't care if you're Phil Collins or Def Leppard. It doesn't matter. Pride can enter your heart. Now, am I saying that they're all hell raisers? No, I'm not saying they do it on purpose, but pride can enter your heart when you're a musician. Because you're up there in front of everybody and you're really good at what you do. I'm telling you, there were some amazing individuals who have came along in the history of our world. Jimi Hendrix is one of them. Forgot the other guy that played guitar. I mean, those guys were amazing with guitars. Amazing. Played it upside down, left-handed. I can't even figure out how to play it the right way. Right-handed. And the dude flipped it upside down and played it left-handed. They have amazing voices, and I've always wondered in my mind if those guys were to ever turn godly and start singing for God, what that would be like. You're seeing some of it. Some of those guys are turning that way. But I've often wondered, you know, how good they would be and what they would do for God if they could stand up here and say, yes, I am the guy from that band, but I received Jesus. You know the testimonies those people can tell you? Can you imagine what those guys see when they're traveling on the road? Can you even imagine? I have a pretty good idea. If you watch the documentaries, they'll kind of give you some idea. But they see all kinds of hell. And it just gets on, and that's all they ever see. That's all they ever see. That's all they ever see. And then eventually it just becomes a part of you. And then when it becomes a part of you, you start expressing it outwardly. As I close with two other chapters left, I'll start closing. I just want you to know Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 talks about how pain is temporary. I'll just turn there right quick and then call it pretty good. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And as you read on, it says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Never has it ever been fun to be in pain. But the Bible says, it may not be joyous right now, but afterwards yields a peaceable fruit. I don't know what y'all went through during COVID, but I'm sure most of us learned a lot. I'm sure there was a lot to be learned. I'm sure that God had worked on a lot. He worked on me like I ain't never been worked on. I'm telling you, 2020 was my turnaround in a lot of ways. I'm seeing fruit come in that I'd never thought about, you know, and I'm just like amazed what God is doing right now in my life particularly. I don't know about yours, but in mine. Pain is temporary. Because on the flip side, it yields a peaceable fruit. And I'll close with James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In other words, he's saying, don't give up. Don't quit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Because on the flip side, there's a crown. Now, does everybody get a trophy in this deal? Absolutely not. That's what I hate about a lot about school these days. Everybody gets a trophy. I had to hand out some stuff the other day, and I was like, "Are you serious? Are you kidding me? We're gonna give just because they, participated." And I handed it to them, and the kid's like, "Oh, this is wonderful!" And I was just like, "Yeah, shut up." I didn't say it to him. I just kept looking down, pretending I was right. I was like, "Yeah, here's your little thing. You got to be kidding me." In life, not everybody gets a trophy. There are some going to heaven and there are some going to hell. And I'm here to tell you that hell is not a trophy. It is not a crown of victory. It is not a reward. Not everybody wins in this deal. That's just the way it's designed. I didn't have any say-so over it. God does. He's the one that designed it this way, and that's the way it's going to work. You either believe it or you don't. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. I'm telling you, last year was full of temptation. It was full of trials, testing, and temptation. And the ones that heard from God, learn from it. If you can hear, you can learn. But if you didn't listen very well, you're probably still on the same path, going through the same old stuff, doing the same old thing. But if you listen, and it doesn't mean that the time's not over yet, so it's not like time's ran out. You can still turn it around. But I'm here to tell you that last year, if you were listening really close, then you probably learned something. Blessed is the man who endures pain, hardship, discouragement, temptation, depression. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but when you get to heaven, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're going to receive crowns and little rewards. I say little. You're going to receive rewards for what you did here on this earth, and the people in heaven are going to know you by your crowns. People in heaven are going to be like, "Wow, that was that guy?" And then they're going to be like, "Oh, wow, that was that guy? Well, he didn't do very much." Every head bowed and every eye closed. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for you shall receive a crown of life. If you're not saved today, some of you guys that are new here, and maybe you didn't even know you had to receive Jesus. Maybe your church never talked about that. Maybe your church never even mentioned the fact that you have to receive Jesus to receive these crowns. In order to get to heaven, there's only one ticket, and the ticket was the blood that He spilled out on the ground. He spilled out all of His blood on the ground for you to go to heaven. That's your only ticket. There is no alternative. There is no alternative to go to heaven. You cannot get to heaven by being a good person and donating, $5,000 of stuff to Goodwill. You don't get to heaven by even donating $10,000 to a church for an indoor arena. That's not how you get to heaven. The way you get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Maybe you're new here, and maybe your church never told you this. Maybe you didn't even know you had to receive Jesus. Well, today's your opportunity. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any form or fashion. All I'm going to ask you to do is just pray a prayer with all of us. And by praying this prayer, I want you to be serious in this prayer. And I believe that if you pray this prayer and you mean what you say and you receive Jesus as your Lord, maybe you didn't even know you had to receive Him. But I believe if you pray this prayer and mean what you say, you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 explains it very clearly, that when you confess with your mouth, you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. There's only one way to get there, and it's through Him. So I'd urge you to pray this prayer and mean what you say. If you're not saved, pray this prayer and mean it. Say it like this. Say, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and arose again on the third day. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name." With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, all I'm going to ask you to do is, on the count of three, raise your hand and acknowledge to me. I'm the only person looking around. I just want to know if there was anybody that received Jesus. And by you raising your hand, you're acknowledging to us that signs and wonders are still happening in this earth. People are receiving Jesus. You don't raise your hand unless something transforms you on the inside. So if you receive Jesus for the very first time, all I'm going to ask you to do is just on the count of three, raise your hand and just acknowledge towards me that, yeah, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. It builds us up. It edifies us to see that there are people that are still receiving Jesus. On the count of three, if that was you. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Is there anybody? One up here in the front. Maybe. Okay. All right. Two. Is there anybody? Is there a number two in here? No? Okay. On the inside of that Bible, there's a little card. If you could fill that out and put it in the offering bucket, we'd appreciate it. It's just a little acknowledgement. We like to keep track of how many people are getting saved in this church. We like to see the fruits of the labor. So if you can fill that card out, we'd appreciate it. All right, well, look at me. We'll get out of here. I see a lot of y'all fanning yourselves. I was trying to hurry through here quick as I could. A little bit warm. Hey, I'm sweating. You know, I was up here. I was sweating it out with you guys. I've got a little water on my sleeve here. It's hot out there, isn't it? I ain't kidding y'all, guys. I've been going home. I've been working outside since I'm off for 2 months because I'm a teacher. I've been at home working outside, and I am not kidding. I go in the house. I change all of my clothes. I get it all off, put on new clothes, and then I go and sit down and enjoy that nice, sweet glass of tea. Isn't it wonderful? The reap the rewards. It is, my friends, when you go through stuff or you experience hardship, the flip side of that is you get to enjoy the sweet tea. And it's worth it. It is so worth it. Want to throw you a few quick announcements before we get out of here. We have a pot, we call a pot. If I say pot blessing, some of you guys that are not new here may not know that, but we call them pot blessing. They're having a potluck at Family Social at Ashley Price. There you are. At her house today. So they love to have people over, and they'd love for people to bring a dish to sit down and just fellowship. So if you'd like to go to that or have any more questions about that, please see her, because they're going to do that today over in Bertram it's at your house, right? Yeah, it's at the house. So if you'd like to be a part of that, go see her, and she can tell you all the details, what time, where she lives, address, all that stuff. And just sit down. It's just about getting to know each other. And, you know, even if you're new here and you don't even know who people are, this is how you learn. This is how you get to know who people are, is just sitting down talking with them. So please go see her when you're done. VBS is June the 21st through the 24th, so that's a Monday through a Thursday. We have plenty of volunteers, thank the Lord. Thank God. We got plenty of volunteers. We just need kids to sign up so we kind of know how many are going to be here so that we can plan. Okay, so if your kid's going to go to VBS right here, it's going to be, I think, from 6 to 8 o'clock. Is that right? 6 to 8 o'clock. So you drop them off, you come back and get them, and, you know, a couple hours later. And kids just have a good time having fun and learn more about Jesus. And then you pick them up that night. So it won't be an all-day thing. And that's it. Okay. All right. Y'all stand to your feet. Is there any other announcement you can think of? Okay. Just want to say thank you guys for everything. And I'm going to hand this off to Sharon. There you go. Thank you.
That was an amen. What do you think? You know, in today's world, it's so easy to quit. So thank you, Howdy. That God's word says, you know, the only way you ever lose is to quit. So we're just not going to. And the word also says that we provide seed to the sower. I think y'all can tell how he sows into our lives as our associate pastor. He also sows into the kids that he teaches. I would have loved to have had my children under you. So thank you very much. So this right here. Howdy does not take a salary at this church, so we want to bless him and bless his socks off, because it's hot. No socks. No. No. So we're going to come up here. We're going to bless him for taking up the mantle while Corey and Jamie, our pastors, are in Casper, Wyoming. Also, the Bowens are there, and I believe Don and Ruby Sanders are also there, all pouring into those kids' lives. So let's come and bless Howdy in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for this service. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Howdy, who blesses us with your word. Father God, I thank you for the people that received you today. We thank you for the people that have come in, that have visited our church, and we thank you that we can love on them and welcome them with open arms. Father God, we thank you that our pastors are teaching and serving and loving on kids from all over America this week. We love you, we thank you, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, Bible study, 6:30 Tuesday night, right?